welcome everybody to another episode of our podcast, 1,000 Years of Beer, recorded here in the Weinstephan Brewery Museum on the top of the Weinstephan Hill. As always, we're welcoming you. That's me, International Brand Ambassador of the brewery, Matthias Ebner, and my colleague, responsible for all our online stuff, our online marketing manager and co-host of the podcast, Anton. Hey, how are you doing?
Hi, everyone. Thank you for introducing me, Matthias, like always. And like always, it's been good tradition for me to tell everybody out there that this time we have a very special episode, because we always have special episodes. And once again, we have a member of our Weinstephan family from all over the world here with us in the museum. And thankfully, it is time to visit again, to visit the world again. And so welcome, Gary, from the UK, from Weinstephan UK, from Branded Drinks. Thank you for being here and welcome to our podcast. It's good to have you.
Anton, Matthias, it's an absolute pleasure and joy to be here. This is my first trip since COVID. I hope, first of all, that you can understand me, all those listeners out there, because I will try and speak slower. I have to say, your colleague, Johannes, actually translates for me sometimes in England, which is handy. So hopefully people will understand. But, yeah, it's a joy to be here.
Don't mind too much, Gary, because sometimes I have this thing that there are so much different accents in the language, like in English, you know, and the same is in German. And actually, you know, if you say you have a strong Scottish accent, I would say that's basically the Bavarian version of the English accents. You know, there are a lot of Bavarians who have a strong accent that must be getting a translator when they're in other parts of Germany, because they would not get understand it then at that point.
Yeah, I think you guys speak English better than I do.
I wouldn't go that far. But it's, like Matthias said, I mean, our German version of the podcast is, he's from Austria, and I'm Bavarian, so there's no German in our German podcast, basically. Yeah. But
okay. So don't mind about that. The other thing is, there are accents actually in Austria too. I really get there 50%, you know. There are so special words, a special pronunciation where I'm like, what? So I assume what they are saying out of the context, but I don't understand everything every time.
That is basically something like I have the perfect bridge now to our first question, because we heard that you have a Scottish accent.
Yeah.
Would you take this chance and just introduce yourself to our listeners real quick?
Of course. I'm Gary Lawson. I'm the director of sales for Branded Drinks for the UK on-trade. So I'm responsible for the Weinstephan range of beer, Fürstenberg also from the Black Forest, and I develop those beers to the UK on-trade. Personally, a little bit about me. You know, I live in Glasgow, just north west of the city, on the way to the Trossachs National Park, Loch Lomond, and I've been involved in the beer industry for over 20 years, since 2000, and I'm 50 years of age, and I have a boy at 14 and a partner, Kate, at home, and I just love being here.
Welcome
back.
So the beer journey for me, if you want to know a little bit about my background, started with a trip to Prague, 1998, and I had a beer awakening, epiphany, whatever you want to call it. I had been drinking certain beers in my country. You don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
And I arrived in Prague tasting this beautiful unfiltered Pilsner, 20 pence for half a litre. And my world opened up, and I loved the culture. I just felt cheated all my life when I'm tasting this beautiful beer, thinking, why have I not been introduced to this before? To cut a long story short, 2 years later, I had the agency for Krušovice, their fourth largest beer at that time. I'm not sure where it is now in domestically in Czech. And I just had to introduce this beer to people. And so that's what I did. and I'm still doing it.
And that's how it started.
Not with Krushevitsa, but I'm still doing, yeah, you know, introducing beer to people. I just thought, this is a wonderful experience. I have to introduce people to this.
Yeah, I can totally understand it. I mean, Czech beer culture is very rich, have great styles that, yeah, they celebrate it. I guess it's very comparable also to the Bavarian and German beer culture. You know, they have their own styles. They are very proud of it, you know.
Yeah.
And they live it day by day. And I guess this is something we in Bavaria do the same. But they have fantastic beers, and I can totally see that. I mean, because
the home of Pilsner, you know,
yeah,
Pilsner.
Yeah, yeah. It's a wonderful beer, and everything fits so well. I mean, it's the beer, it's the food, so, and how the people live it. Yeah. I mean, it's also the surrounding. You also need to see
city.
It.
It's, yeah, fairy tale stuff. So, I mean, yeah, it was one of the best weekends of my life.
Yeah.
You know, going there, music, we got introduced to some amazing, yeah, music, you know.
It's the whole setting, the package.
Of course, yeah. And, you know, one of the other things that I do that I've got a real passion for, apart from beer and introducing people to really good beer, is music. So that helped when I set up the beer business, because I had been DJing in bars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got the label as well, record label, and I co-produce and co-promote and release electronic music, you know, many genres. And that really helped building it. I already had a network, mm-hmm, of people in Glasgow.
Mm-hmm.
So when I brought the beer in, it just went from there. And it's just a passion.
Yeah.
I don't know about anyone else, I can't do something just to make money. If that's my only motive, then it's just not for me. I've got to have the passion.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I've just carried that forward, really. You know?
Yeah.
When you have passion for that, what you do, you never go to work again.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. This is work.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah. You just said that basically introducing beer to people is your job. That's basically the headline of it.
Yeah.
Would you mind going into a little more detail? What is it that you do every day?
Yeah, I mean, of course. I mean, I had to start off just going straight way back to how I started. You'd be lucky in Glasgow to have a bar that maybe had Budvar, maybe had Holsten Pills, maybe had Hoegaarden. That was it in the early 90s. So when I started, I couldn't get distributors to list the beer, because they said, well, we have Budvar, so we don't need another Czech beer, and certainly don't need one that we can't pronounce. And so I thought, well, stuff it. I'll just do it myself. So we got a van, and we just went for it. We just introduced it to bars. I delivered the beer, did everything, built up that customer base. And then 6 years later, Branded Drinks chapped the door, and the chairman, Roger Calver, had seen Krushevitsa everywhere, and we had some mutual customers, obviously, for Fürstenberg, and you know, he asked to speak to me, and we did a deal. And in 2006, I came on board with Branded Drinks,
mm-hmm,
and brought Krushevitsa into the portfolio. And so day to day, I do whatever is necessary, really. Mm-hmm. You know, I am the main contact. A lot of my time is taken up by distribution of glassware.
Mm-hmm.
People have to have the proper glass. Mm-hmm. It's the whole experience, yes, isn't it?
Yeah.
So a lot of time is taken up making sure that people have glassware. We've got to such a stage now where it's really nice, actually. People are now chapping our door, mm-hmm, for Vine Stefana.
Yeah.
You know, I don't go out selling on the streets.
What are the typical places where to find Vine Stefan beers in the UK?
Oh, basically we started off in the cities. You know, it was started off in Scotland. Glasgow is...
So this was one of their... first regions where...
Yeah,
where
Glasgow was okay. The big one. So 2006, we started off...
That's interesting.
I started off... Vine Stefan had been there for a few years before that, but not, mm-hmm, in any great... And I think I inherited three taps,
mm-hmm,
for the whole of the UK. That's it.
Yeah.
2006.
So basically nothing.
But it was... It was a start. There, yeah. It was a start. So we had to... So I then had to introduce it to my customer base. Mm-hmm. Glasgow being the biggest, and Brel is my first account in Ashton Lane in Glasgow. If anyone knows Glasgow, it's a beautiful area. Cobblestone, old stables, all converted to bars, gastro bars, and Brel was the first tap I got for Weinsteffen in 2006. I think the first 4 months we sold 13 hectolitres. I came on board in the February, got it into Brel first, and what, 16 years later, it's still pouring. Still awesome. Pouring in Brel, you know? And so then we developed that. The nice sort of bohemian west end of Glasgow was a perfect customer base for us, a perfect fit for the beer. Mm-hmm. And so we'd go around specific accounts, making sure it wasn't the next bar across the road.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Making sure a little bit of exclusivity
in the area. Yeah, of course.
It works for everyone.
Yeah.
And then the city centre. And there was a whole beer revolution in Glasgow in the late 90s. A guy called Colin Barr opened up what is still the Republic Beer Hall. Mm-hmm. He had a similar experience to me in Prague. And he opened up a bar based on the beer halls in Prague. Mm-hmm. But he wanted beers all around the world. So he's got 100 beers throughout the world. So that basically, it was a roaring success, still is. Mm-hmm. And people had then thought, we have to look at our range, you know. And really, he and another couple of pioneers started a kind of world beer revolution in Glasgow. And I came on the back of that as well, you know, and we just built it from there. Mm-hmm. So Glasgow was a hotbed, Edinburgh as well. All around now, you know, Manchester, Greater Manchester, York, we've got some really good accounts in York. We've got some really good accounts in and around London with our distributors down there. What I'm finding now, it was predominantly a city beer, mm-hmm. Weinsteffen. But you're now finding that there's little craft world beer mm-hmm. bars opening up in every town, you know, because people are having the same experience as I did.
Yeah.
You know, when your taste buds don't lie,
yeah.
You know, once you taste, you can't go back.
Yeah.
You can't go back. Well, maybe on a sunny day when you're trying to save money, you maybe go to the supermarket, you know, and drink some discount beer in your garden. But, you know, if you're going out, once you've had the taste, you can't really go back. And so you're seeing pockets everywhere, really. We're just trying to reach everyone. They're all coming to us now, mm-hmm. which is great news. Mm-hmm. So it's just basically being able to make sure that these customers are serviced properly. Mm-hmm. With the glassware, with any POS, meeting their bar staff, giving information, all that stuff. And it's just cultivating year on year, and it's building and building and building. But certainly Glasgow and Edinburgh was the
big start. I was not expecting that. I mean, can be seen a little bit as a global brand. You know, we're available in more than 50 countries in the world. Actually, from Brisbane to Seattle, you can drink Weinsteffen beers. But incredible. I was expecting actually that maybe like big international melting pots like London or New York or Sydney are like the hosts where a brand with the words or this brewery were distinctive beer people there, so they would like want to have it. And so this is the start. I would not expect the start of Weinsteffen beer was actually in Scotland. So,
well, just because that's where I was based.
Yeah, but actually that's pretty cool. I mean, I guess when you see it a little bit, I guess Scottish people and Bavarian people have a little bit in common when it comes to mentality and their whole, you know, how they live life. Yeah,
well, we work hard and we play harder.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I would say that's definitely a big thing in common.
London is now, you know, we do have a really good distributor in London, London is starting to bubble away. And of course, we've got the guys over from mm-hmm. Brewhouse and Kitchen for the next couple of days.
Yeah.
You know, and they've been a flagship for us mm-hmm. for a number of years
so,
now.
So we would also say that's more classic beer bars, good, well selected beer bars, like they have a nice selection of international beers. Yeah. So that's a typical place where you can find in the UK a Weinsteffen beer.
Oh, definitely. I mean, it was a world beer bar, specialty beer. They call themselves world beer bars now. Mm-hmm. But the beauty of it is Weinsteffen fits very comfortably in the craft sector as well. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a multinational, it's the Bavarian State Brewery. You know, the craft boys know this. You know, it's something that's attractive.
They know
to
it from the yeast. They know it from the brewing school.
Absolutely.
So for them, I see it a lot in the US. Also, craft places do have like wines, different beers on tap or as bottles in there, because it's like this must have in a well selected beer bar. You know, when they have a well selected beer lineup, they are like Weinstephan is like, when it comes to wheat beers, like this must have pick. Yeah. This is the pick to have in your selection, where I said this is the go to wheat beer. You know,
that's my experience, Matthias. Mm-hmm. You know, what I'm finding now, not just with the speciality bars and the craft bars, but everyone is starting to focus and starting to realize that they need to have one wheat beer pouring in their bars. You know, that's what the attitude is getting to of late, and Weinstephan is the go-to.
Do you think that this typical wheat beer flavor, you know, the fruitiness, like this kind of banana and cloves aroma, was that this is something which was kind of missing in the UK beer culture till that point?
Yeah, or? I do. That's a good point. Mm-hmm. I think that's a very valid point. Not to detract from other beers, but the taste profile is much stronger with Weinstephan. You know, there's more complexity to it. The first cloudy beer, if you like, that was introduced to the UK would be Hoe Garden. And that, you know, that started a trend of people realising that you could have cloudy beer and it's not off.
Yeah, it's not something to
pour
put
down.
Away.
Yeah, of course. So, yeah, so, you know, they started, I guess, introducing people to cloudy beer. You know, it's quite a mild beer. You know, I'm sure, you know, we're not saying anything wrong by describing it as such. I'm sure they know that themselves. And then Erdinger came as well. And and Erdinger is quite a bit milder than Weinstephan. So people are taking the next step now, you know, when they taste Weinstephan, they're tasting that complexity, you know, that fruit, the banana, the cloves, you know, and people like that, you know, our palate is, we've got quite a sweet rather than bitter palate in the UK. I'm not saying it's sweet, but it's just because it's got those fruit flavours coming through. It really suits our palate, you know. So it's a perfect fit, and people recognise the quality.
You would say it's a nice addition to... I mean, the UK does have actually a very rich beer culture.
Yep.
I mean, let's say like the specialties are cask ales or real ales, stouts, porters. So all those... very intense beers. Yeah,
absolutely.
And a very rich culture, long culture on that.
Of course.
So you would say like the Bavarian beers as a kind are they're kind of a addition or a kind of counterpart to the British beer culture?
They're definitely a really nice add-on, a bolt-on, if you like, you know, because obviously we've had a heritage of real ale, cask. But since the craft revolution has come, there's been a new generation of drinker that is actually now drinking real ale, craft beer, IPA, all these different beer styles that you wouldn't see a person under 40 years of age drinking before. Mm. Whereas now people, you know, because they were all lager.
Yeah.
Whereas now, you know, people are being self-educated with beer style because of because of what's on offer. And Weinstephan just fits perfectly within all of it, you know. And people are not scared to try something different. You know, the difference with us is, you know, our bars have a multitude of beers all in the one bar, whereas a lot of the time here, it's only one brewery per bar.
Yeah.
You know, so I know that's changing with a lot of bars and certainly in Munich in certain areas, but that's probably the difference as well because it's so competitive. But, you know, people are looking at one wheat beer and they're realising the quality of Weinstephan.